Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
People of Israel have long and rightly prided themselves on their self-reliance, on their ability to defend themselves, even when the odds are stacked against them. The message that I bring to Israel is this: you may be strong enough on your own to defend yourself, but as long as America exists, you will never ever have to. We will always be there by your side.
Well, maybe. We'll see. I mean, we left Americans in Afghanistan before, so we'll see if we can get them out of Gaza. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this Thursday program. You can listen to the nationally syndicated radio show across the country. And this ongoing, I mean, we're in day, what is it, day six now? Day five, I believe, of the conflict with Israel and Hamas, and now, of course, Hezbollah entering in up at the north. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, because that's what was happening as we were rolling into the end of the show. That began kicking off northern Israel. So this, all of this, and I've been following this, and as I've been looking at all the latest, and the death toll for Americans has gone up. I think it's over 20 at this point, Americans that were killed in this terror attack. Actually, it's 25. That's according to Antony Blinken. And then, of course, in addition to this, I'm just seeing some weird stuff across the country, which we're going to talk about. I've seen, you know, you hear the stuff in college campuses, but I even see stuff like on social media from people who are using like their actual names. I'm just like, where are you getting like these sentiments from? It's bizarre to me. And then, of course, you have members of Congress as well. Representative Rashida Tlaib facing motions to censure. She still hasn't said anything. She still has not said a single thing about all of any of this. So, she hasn't put out a statement. She hasn't. And then you have Ilhan Omar, who keeps doubling down on that. Apparently, it's like all the fault of Israel. I mean, she had like one thing about some of the violence that has been seen in video. And speaking of that, which we're also going to dive into, I'm amazed at the bickering over the level of barbarity that I've seen from Hamas. And people saying that, you know, somehow that, you know, the level of barbarism, that's something that's to be debated, as opposed to like the number of babies that have been killed or the number of children that have been killed. There were photos released. I retweeted it. I mean, because some people apparently want dead baby photos in their timelines. I retweeted it for the photos for the people who are like, well, I just don't know. I mean, you don't need it. Maybe it was just a couple of kids. I mean, from all of the stuff that we have seen from Hamas, it's just weird to me that we would, that somehow that we're going to bicker over the level of barbarity. You know what I mean? That's like one of the things that I keep seeing that's coming around. But those photos were released earlier today, and apparently our administration saw them. The IDF had confirmed it. You know, I told you yesterday that multiple media outlets had confirmed this stuff. I don't know why, you know, people were like, I'm going to need to see some dead babies. I'm going to need to see some babies' heads. I'm going to need to see some ashen babies' bodies. I don't know why that's a thing. I mean, the stuff on video that we've seen is bad enough. The stuff that we've seen on social media is bad enough. The fact that there were terrorists that paraglided into a concert and opened fire, that's pretty damn bad. I mean, really, we're going to have the need to see the dead baby caucus? Well, there you go. You got your photos and all that. Get to it. I'm sure you're thrilled. I don't know. I got to tell you, some of the stuff I've seen, some of these college campuses, everything else, they should shut these damn campuses down. It's just weird to me. This whole thing is weird. There's just, it's like I said yesterday, these are very clarifying times. Very clarifying times. There have been protests in cities that have been pro-Hamas. I don't ever remember anything being pro-Hamas at this level. Do you, Kane?
No.
Is it weird to you, or am I just like on crazy pills?
No, it's definitely escalated a lot.
It's odd. I find the whole thing odd. The whole thing's weird. So I don't know. So after everybody was demanding proof, and we're going to talk more about this, those photos were released. And I will warn you, coming up, I'm going to show them. We'll show them on the simulcast. I'll give you a heads up. But I think that it needs to be seen. Just the whole thing. And some of the, you'll meet this online too, if you're at all online. I noticed this yesterday too, Kane. I had to ban like over 60 French-speaking pro-Hamas accounts that were all created in the last, like, 4 months.
French-speaking. That makes no sense.
No, they, like, ambushed. They were all in my timeline and on Instagram as well. All over. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think France, along with other countries, too, you're not allowed to gather in support of terrorist groups like Hamas. It's not allowed.
Maybe that's why they were doing it. I don't know. It's just weird. The whole thing's weird. There is an organized effort online to really, I think, demonize anyone who's speaking out against atrocities. Just know that. Just know, because I've never noticed that kind of organized activity before until like now. I've noticed it before, but not to that extent, and not foreign, like the foreign speaking as well. Goodness. I mean, good heavens. So this all, but I'm almost speechless with some of this stuff that I've been seeing. And we're going to, like I said, I want to dive into the reactions here coming up. We're also, there were leaflets that have been dropped apparently by the IDF in various parts of Gaza, where they were warning people, get out, you need to leave, you need to leave, you need to get out, because this, we're going to be coming in, they're going to be strikes. And I told you yesterday that Hamas had been telling everyone, whether it was on social media or whether it was to stay, this is just them trying to scare you. And then when they had strikes, then Hamas is in the streets, and, well, actually, they're not in the street. The guy who runs it is in a palace in Qatar, so he's not even there. They don't even live in Gaza. Do people not realize this? Like, the people who are in Hamas, who make these decisions, they don't even live there. They live in Qatar. Which, by the way, why are we nice to Qatar? Why are we friends with them? Are we friends with them? Why are we? Just, golly. They don't even live there. The people voted for them. They don't even live there. But they were telling everyone, no, this is an IDF trick. They're just trying to trick you. They're just trying to intimidate you. That's what this is. And then when strikes happen and civilians are caught in it, then it's, oh my gosh, Israel's targeting citizens, which they haven't. They have not targeted citizens. That has not been something that they've done. I'm just, and then you got Zelensky out there still pushing for money. So he is visiting Israel. This is I saw the story this morning. He's expected to visit Israel as a show of support. I thought he was going to go there to ask for money, frankly. He's going there as a show of support. And that's what was announced the Pentagon announced earlier this week that they're sending $200 million in ammunition to Ukraine. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, he had been in Belgium. He was he was at this meeting for a defense contact group for Ukraine. They have a military aid package for Ukraine that's going over, and it includes all kinds of ammunition, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that, by the way, the thing with Israel and Ukraine, they're not even remotely comparable. So I'm not even going to even entertain that as a talking point for the sake of content. It's so stupid. They're not even remotely comparable. So I think we're standing at almost $44 billion in terms of the money that we've sent over there. And Ukraine's funding, that was the big fight in the speaker challenge, was the funding, in whether or not there was going to be funding in a bill or not. And it was just going back and forth. So he's apparently going to be showing as like a show of support for Israel. And then this... there hasn't really been, speaking of Russia, there's not, have they, because they're friendly with Hamas. They've even had Hamas officials visit them in Moscow before. So I'm just curious as to where they are on all of this. I mean, they're friendly with Iran. So, I mean, it should go to figure that they would be friendly with Hamas as well, since Hamas is the militant arm of Iran. Just things to keep on the table. Also, the speaker fight, as it was underway, I'm going to pull this up, because Steve Scalise started losing votes last night. This is just so stupid. All of this is so dumb. So there were a bunch of House Republicans that said they weren't going to vote for Steve Scalise after all. One of those was Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace is going to do whatever gets Nancy Mace the most attention. I used to be entirely ambivalent about her, and I have a lot of friends who work in politics that are either in commentary, they're editorialists, or, you know, they're in politics in some way. Not a single one of my friends like her. I have no one amongst my acquaintance that is either a moderate or super conservative that likes her. And I always thought that was interesting. And I just kept thinking, maybe she's getting a bad rap. No, I see it. I completely see it. So she's one of those individuals who, she campaigned with Steve Scalise and he raised money for her. And now she's trying to figure out where she can follow the gravy train, I guess. And so she said that she can't support him. So I don't know. We don't have a plan. Nobody has a plan. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. Now, I think you have more that opposed Scalise being speaker than had actually even voted against McCarthy after the motion to vacate. And the average person, like I said yesterday, doesn't care who the House Speaker is. But what they do see is this back and forth fighting, and it looks absolutely juvenile. It does. I mean, I've always said that it was like the Leroy Jenkins thing. You can't just, you know, run in there without a plan. You can't not have a substitute ready to go. It doesn't make any sense, but that's exactly what had happened. So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. And the speaker pro temp is just very limited in what they can do. They can't bring anything to the floor. Committees can still meet. Committees can do whatever, but the pro temp can't do much. So there's a lot of stuff to cover from a bunch of different angles today. And some of the other stuff we're going to hit is the domestic reaction. And then we also had Hamas. I said this yesterday. Hamas had called for an international day of jihad, whatever the hell that means. Try that in a small town. All I know is if I see terrorist paragliders wielding, you know, AKs in the sky, trying to do like a stupid broke version of Red Dawn, I'm going to play Duck Hunt. That's all I know. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a couple of things to touch on here. This businesses are returning $140 million in surprise overdraft fees to consumers, according to a report. Well, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think the overdraft stuff could kill people. I've read stories, but this is CNBC. It says that businesses are returning $140 million in surprise overdraft fees to consumers. This is according to this report. Surprise bank overdraft and insufficient fund fees. It's $120 million That's $120 million of the whole account. That's crazy. And they said that two-thirds of banks with more than $10 billion in assets have dropped NSF fees, according to a separate report. So that's pretty... Goodness, that's a lot of cash, and that's going to do a lot of good. But golly, I didn't realize it was that crazy. Let's see here. Moving on. The New York Post, we're going to talk about this. There was a confrontation between KJP and a New York Post reporter who erupted yesterday in the presser, claiming that she never calls on him and that she should be ashamed. I mean, you thought it was just, you know, Peter Ducey and Simon Atiba, but it's not. It's also New York Post writer Stephen Nelson, who said that she had refused to answer. She hasn't answered a question from him since May. Since May is the last time that she took a question from him. The classified document scandal deepens for Joe Biden. This is related to the Penn Biden Center. That was the evidence that emerged that apparently White House employees inspected or took inventory of a few boxes containing Biden materials, according to House Oversight. And so they had the committee chair, White House Oversight, their counsel sent Edward Siskel to the committee chair, James Comer, saying that the timeline of events that the Biden team provided, they omitted months of communications, planning and coordinating. So they just didn't submit everything. So it just gets even worse. The cover up is always worse. Gavin Newsom drifting towards the middle, with some Democrats wondering if he's getting ready. He vetoed a bill that would force judges in child custody cases to consider whether or not a parent has affirmed their child's chosen gender identity, a huge departure from where he's normally been on the issue. But that has a lot of Democrat insiders speculating that he's getting ready. He might be getting ready to do something. Very interesting. College admission test scores are falling, and the media wants to blame the coronavirus. Of course they do. Of course they do. High school student scores on the ACT have dropped. ACT is also garbage, as is most standardized testing. But they said, yeah, these admissions tests, they're dropping. We have a lot more on the way. Stay with us. We're at the bottom of this first hour. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
It's time to look into the past. After the Yom Kippur War, we had an oil embargo with prices increasing over 300%. As we continue to push green energy policies, Biden has drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. What kind of danger have we put ourselves in? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm going to
be called on me in two seasons, Kareem.
And not calling on you today. Go ahead.
Right. Good, you should be ashamed
go
of
ahead.
That.
Go ahead.
That shows
go ahead.
Disrespect to a free and independent
go ahead.
Media. It's black.
I'm going
to
close.
One of our country's largest and most widely read newspapers, Kareem. That shows contempt for a free and independent press.
Go ahead. I'm calling on somebody who I haven't called in a long time as well. Go ahead.
Thanks. Why wasn't the president originally scheduled?
So the New York Post is getting frozen out, probably because they've been writing too much about the Biden scandals, I would think. That's kind of what it seems like, doesn't it?
Yep.
Seems like they've been writing too many things about the Biden scandal, and they get frozen out. That was KJP telling that to Kevin Nelson, who's with the Post yesterday. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour as well. And we're rolling through all of this stuff today because there's a lot to go through. Antony Blinken he's speaking in Tel Aviv. I don't think we need to necessarily take it, but just to be aware of it, he was giving an update as to some of the you know, what the press, what there's a lot of international press. Let me start with this. Let me be very, very forthright in my messaging. I don't think, and I know a lot of people dislike the media. Okay. I guarantee you, you don't dislike the legacy press as much as me. I promise you that you don't loathe the legacy press as much as I do. I promise you that you haven't been targeted by the legacy press as much as like some people like me. I say this because you cannot allow and invalidate a story oftentimes because of who presents it. So we had multiple stories yesterday of this horrific, I don't even like talking about it, but it has me so enraged. I don't care. I'll burn all bridges. The story about the kids that were killed by Hamas. And there were actually people on social media. And I think so much of this is like organized activity. Because like normal people don't talk like this. But there were people saying, yeah, I'm going to have to see some proof of this. I don't believe it. Who wants to see pictures of dead babies? Like, who wants to see that? What is your damage? I actually had people say that, like more than 10, actually. I'm going to need to see some proof. I thought that was so weird. Like, who needs to see? What are you talking about? And so this horrific story, it had to do, I don't think it was one kibbutz either. I think it was like several. But the one that was the most, got the most notoriety in the worst way was the one that was closer to the northern Gazan border. And that's the one where video came where the dogs were being shot and everything else. And the accusation came from some of the Hamas apologists that, oh, this didn't really happen, or it was just a couple of kids that were shot. Like, that made it better. Even if it was just, these are the same people who are like, you know, one who talk about the rare occurrence statistically of mass casualty incidents horrifically involving schools. And they're like, even if it just saves one life, suddenly now it doesn't matter when they're talking about, you know, Israeli kids that are being killed. It's just wild to me. Well, there was back and forth over, did the IDF confirm it? Did the Israeli government confirm it? Back and forth, back and forth. And I just don't have the stomach or the patience for that. And I knew it was going to happen. I knew they were, and I just thought, gosh, this is, a lot of people are going to feel really bad about themselves when this comes out. And of course, the photos came out. They released all these photos. There's only three of them that I felt safe enough to retweet. And because people apparently thought they don't believe it. These were confirmed apparently by our government, multiple international media outlets. I had people saying, oh, now you trust the media. I guarantee you, you haven't been as mistreated by the media as I have. But you're also talking about leftists who are having to admit these atrocities. Nobody wants dead babies. Nobody wants this to be real. Nobody wants this to be real. It is sadly real, though. This is the barbarity of Hamas. They burned them alive. I mean, these were like kids and babies. Burned them alive, heads chopped off. These are all real things that have happened. And there's photo and video, and it's multiple international media outlets, multiple governments now, because people who were a Hamas apologist were insisting that, oh, this isn't real. Or the IDF hasn't even confirmed this, or this is just one reporter. I mean, there's video out there of a reporter who is just like trying to do his report, fighting through tears. I mean, there's reporters that I don't know what they're saying. They're speaking a different language, but you can tell by the tenor of their voice as they run across this, they're just absolutely horrified at what they've discovered. And they're embedded with the IDF and they're reporting on all of these things that are happening. I mean, this is just the fact that anyone is going to sit here and bicker over little nuances in barbarity is asinine to me. Asinine. So it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And it's also a real thing that you have all of these different college campuses. I said this in the prep email that I sent out. You have all these different college campuses where there is an overabundance of, these aren't people who are just like, we disagree with the Israeli government. These are people who are basically, I mean, you've heard some of the chants. I don't need to repeat them. What the hell is going on? What's happening? It's just the Harvard students, Columbia, a bunch of universities in California. I was reading this piece, Daily Caller. Now is the time to ruthlessly purge the universities. Oh, I agree. I agree. The piece says that our national university systems were once a beacon of Western civilization, but for decades, the right called attention to slipping academic standards as well as forced adherence to far left progressive ideology. For a long time, I think that people just, I think the right just, you know, I've talked about this for over a decade. The right just sort of gave up on entertainment and academia. They didn't feel like they were spheres in which that they had to fight for participation. And now you're seeing what happened. Now you're seeing the result of that. Parents warned, ignored a lot of these warnings. I mentioned this yesterday when I played that exchange between David Horowitz. This is an exchange from 2010 when he was talking to this student from University UC San Diego. George Washington University, Yale, Dartmouth, Harvard, NYU, Columbia, they're all rallying behind these Hamas terrorists. Oh, Israel's entirely to blame. And it's, I mean, there have been some of what they've posted, and Black Lives Matter, some of what they've posted is, you know, it's apartheid regime. They're the only ones to blame. They've created, they've brought all this on themselves. They deserve it. It's, oh my gosh. That's the stuff that's being said. Do you want to know what colonialism is? Colonialism is the far left ideology that is trying to become so pervasive in our society. It is the colonialism of communism. That's the modern day colonialism. Because this Western nation, that is not what our identity is. Our identity is not in identity politics. In fact, it stands in defiance of identity politics. I hope people realize this. I'm going to pause there for that. What the hell do you think E Pluribus Unum means? E Pluribus Unum. Out of everything in our history, there's one thing that stands crystal clear, and it's that the creation of this nation is an absolute fist-in-the-air defiance of identity politics and the communist ideology of identity politics. That colonialism is modern day colonialism is attempting to seed that here. Colonialism is what you're seeing on universities across the country. Colonialism are pro-terrorist students at NYU protesting for the death and destruction of people who are defending themselves. Colonialism is what you saw at George Washington University. Colonialism is what you saw with these brats at Harvard. Sidebar, Kane, you don't know this because you're a dude, but my ladies out there will know this. You know Jo Malone, the perfumery lady? Her son was one of the Harvard signees. He was literally on the pro-Hamas committee. Jo Malone's kid. That was my kid. I would videotape myself beating his ass. I would disinherit him, and he would be solely on his own until he recognized his mistake and dragged his sorry ass home like the prodigal son. Jo Malone's kid. That's colonialism. Attempting to rewrite our Western identity of freedom and unity. With this, that's colonialism. Don't let them get it twisted. Most regular functioning people understand what happened and who's to blame. Someone mentioned to me earlier today, well, we should be, you know, I'm consistently anti-war. Are you still anti-war when they're raping your wife in front of you? Are you anti-war when they burn your kids up? I'm asking because these people are like, Israel should be anti-war. I don't think anybody would be. If my neighbor sent a whole bunch of rockets to my house, you better damn believe I'm not going to be anti-war to my neighbor. You can be anti-war as much as you want to, but war will still be upon you. your position about being anti-war doesn't mean a damn thing. You got, at some point, you got to defend yourself. These ideas of it's communist ideological warfare. As I said, that is colonialism. That is what it is. The list came out yesterday of the Harvard students who were supporting this. That's how Joe Malone's kid's name came out. And now it's more than just one CEO. Now other CEOs are coming forward and saying, we want the names of all of these brats that signed this thing. Over a dozen more have endorsed Bill Ackman's vow not to hire Harvard students who defended Hamas. And they're being, and they're whining about being flooded with criticism that they're calling hate speech. That's just the chef's kiss right there. You defend terrorists, and then when people call you out for defending terrorists, you're going to whine and complain that people are being mean to you. That's kind of the consequence of defending terrorism. And that's what it, there's no gray area here. And that rarely happens, by the way. Can I just be honest about that? That rarely happens. Sometimes you're like, well, you know, in this area, this is not a gray area. A dozen more CEOs endorse Ackman's vow not to hire these students. CEOs from Easy Health, Belong, FabFitFun, Inspired, Dove Hill, and a ton others have joined billionaire hedge fund manager Bill Ackman in the charge of outing the members of the 31 student organizations who issued this pro-Hamas statement on Sunday. It's the Harvard Palestine Solidarity Committee. Joe Malone's son is on that committee. Yes, the perfumery lady. Her son is on that committee. Joe Malone's son, the white British kid, Joe Malone. I just want to make fun of this kid so bad. His name is Josh Wilcox, apparently, according to Harvard's student. No, they should be made famous. I think he's old enough. He's 22 years old. Her son, Josh Wilcox, is one of the three students who run the undergrad Palestine Solidarity Committee. And she refused to respond on it. She just said that the war in the Middle East had left her heartbroken, and she said that Hamas's attack was abhorrent. Oh, you did the bare minimum. Good for you. You checked your box. All these people who fell over themselves to put black squares up on Instagram. Jiminy Christmas. So This was the big statement that kicked it all off. Josh Wilcox, 22 years old. He's not going to get hired anywhere. This billionaire rich British kid. Unbelievable.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You all should need to know that America is not sending their best and brightest, you know, to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does he own any other clothes?
No.
He thinks, that's what aggravates me more than anything. And you know, he had to probably really work at that to get that out. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying that I don't think that he's capable of thinking his own thoughts. He's before or after his health situation. Welcome back to the program, Dana. Last year, that was John Fetterman on one of the late night shows. I don't even think anybody watches those late night shows. I really don't think anybody. I think the parents of boomers watch those shows. Boomer parents watch those shows. Boomers don't even watch them. Nobody watches those shows. Nobody does. Nobody watches him. But he was in gym shorts and a hoodie again because he's cosplaying as the everyman. He thinks that that's how everyday people dress. I kid you not. That's what he thinks they dress like that. You know he does. That's what he thinks that everybody dresses like this. It's so insulting. And also, as a woman, I could not let my man go out of the house looking like a slob like that every day. It's just not going to, there's no way. I don't allow, my husband does not shop because he's a man. but I will drag his butt into a store and I will be like, we're going to get these things. And he's like, I just want to go and weld things. I'm just, no, you're going to come and you're going to buy clothes. This is what we're doing today. I'll have to trick him to do it. We got a lot more on the way. You don't want to miss. Second whole hour coming up. And I am going to, we are, thank heavens we got Florida Man, because Florida Man is going to lighten it all up for us. Stick with us.
It is really important that Israel, with all the anger, frustration, and just, I don't know how to explain it, that exists, is that they operate by the rules of war. The rules of war. And there are rules of war. And I believe Israel is doing everything in its power to pull the country together, stay on the same page, and we're going to do everything in our power to make sure Israel succeed, and God willing, to bring home those Americans who are in harm's way.
I'm not going to hear lectures from a guy who left all these people to die in Afghanistan, got 13 American service members killed because he can't do his job. I'm not going to hear no lectures from this dude about rules of war. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this second hour. You realize that dithering politicians who don't let warfighters do what they need to do, those people who drag wars out longer, make them more expensive and make them even cost even more lives. That's who does it. Dithering, bumbling idiots like that. Terrorists aren't covered. There's no rules of war for terrorists. There aren't. There are no rules of war for terrorists. There's just war. I know war is awful. War is horrible. And I say this as somebody who is, I consider myself actually anti-war until someone, a nation, it threatens my interest in my country to the point where I can't be. Because when I don't believe in responding from a position of self-defense, I believe in, you made me so mad, I just went past defense and into offense and I obliterated you. That's how I think the response to any kind of attack on one's country should be, especially from terrorists. I don't believe in rules of war for terrorists. And I'm not going to apologize for hurting the sensitivities of terrorists. I don't believe in rules of war for terrorists, for people who kill children and rape women and destroy entire communities. I mean, they attacked an agrarian community. I do not say this pejoratively. They're hippies, basically, like actual hippies, not like hippies that say they're hippies, but they're really violent and they're leftists and they, you know, they're all quote unquote pro, you know, Antifa. Because they're not actually anti-fascist. No, they're actual, like, real. And again, not a pejorative. I just don't know how else to equate it to make people understand it if they're unfamiliar with the kibbutz concept. But they're like hippies. They're you know, peaceful, you know, farmers, and they're agrarians. They come together to live communally. That's it. I mean, literally the least threatening people you could imagine. If you had to gather together some of the least threatening people possible, that would be in your top three. And they had paragliding terrorists go in. They went to a literal peace festival. That was called, it's what it was called. A rave. When do raves get violent? I mean, for crying out loud, it's a rave. The worst, most offensive thing about a rave, the most aggressive thing, is the use of glow sticks during dancing. Okay. That's the most aggressive thing. They go to an actual peace rally and they paraglide in. You have one of the Hamas stooges called for a day of rage tomorrow, a day of international jihad. They are calling everyone to jihad. Do you remember after 9/11, there was this debate about what jihad meant? Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember this.
After 9/11, I edited a webzine, basically. It was a very, very alternative political and cultural entity online. And I yelled and never used my name on it. Everybody had different names. It was, and I did it with a collective of individuals. And I remember we all came kind of from different backgrounds. Some of them, I had a couple college friends that even wrote for it. And everyone, we all kind of scratched our heads when we saw some people on the left suggest that, well, jihad doesn't really mean like jihad. You remember, you, I know you guys remember this. A lot of you out there remember this. They kept trying to say that, well, they really mean like the struggle in one's own heart. That's what it means. So when they're like calling people to jihad, they're calling you to like the struggle in your heart. And that's not what it means. You totally remember this, do you not?
And we even pointed out how then the online dictionaries, I think it was like Oxford Dictionary or one of those dictionaries online, added that definition to the word back then so that, you know, any of the kids growing up now think that it's always been part of the definition.
Exactly.
And it's not.
And it came up again after Benghazi. Because there were calls to jihad, and I saw it coming up again during Benghazi. Oh, that's not what jihad. Shut up. That's what jihad is. What do you think they're calling? If someone says, I'm calling you to jihad, they're not saying, I'm calling you to bestow upon your insurgent neighbor flowers and candy. That's what I'm calling for you to do. It's not like a nice thing.
Holy war.
Yeah.
That's literally what it means.
Yeah, that's what it is. So what did they think this is? I'm floored. Cause the dude is calling everybody to go and start problems. Good heavens. Speaking of Hamas, you know they are, and by the way, they are I've seen some of this. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, the video the story about how they were using sewer pipes in Hamas, because you have the Hamas leaders in Qatar. They're not even there in Hamas. Their headquarters in Hamas or in Gaza is it literally in a hospital. They they called it pipes with wings. They were using sewer pipes because Israel and everybody else was giving them money to upgrade their infrastructure, their sewage infrastructure. And Hamas turned around and was like, okay, we're going to take this and make bombs and kill more people and be terrorists. So everyone was like, okay, well, maybe instead of money, we'll give you literally, it's like giving somebody a Lego set for a particular build. Right. And you just build it according to the instructions. So they gave them literally the sewage pipes. Like, here, build. Here are the sewage pipes, like actual pipes. Here they are. New for you. Fix your stuff. And they took them. They looked at them and they go, this is amazing. With them, we'll make more bombs. And they made more bombs. And it was the people in Israel would find them in their fields and their neighborhoods. And they realized, oh my gosh, these are pipes. These are sewage pipes. They did the same damn thing with their water pipes. You know this, right? There's a whole video about how they, and I don't want to show it, but it's one of their little militant videos. You know how if you go on YouTube and you look at tutorials of how to do smoky eye, lady, or dudes won't do this, but ladies, dudes, you guys watch meat stuff. Like, how long to smoke this brisket, or how to, you know, whatever. Like some guy, something involving tools or meat. You guys watch those how to's. Ladies, you're like, how we're going to do a smoky eye, or how to do this stuff. You'll watch a tutorial like that. So the Hamas militants, they show you how to make rockets out of water pipes. I'm looking at it. It's an actual video where they take water pipes instead of fixing their infrastructure. And then they bitch, why don't we have water? Because you used your water pipes to make bombs. That's what you did. How are you shocked? Gee, why can't you get drinking water in Gaza? It's because of Israel. Israel made Hamas take our water pipes and turn them into bombs. No, that was Hamas that did that. Stop. It's unbelievable. I can't, but that's, so they called for everybody for a day of jihad. I don't even understand. And then I'm trying to understand this whole, I don't want to get into the political primary aspect of this stuff. I think that people questioning the preparation or asking if Netanyahu could have been as prepared as he possibly could have been, I think that's a reasonable question. And I think it's fine to ask questions like that. But I think that going beyond, because I've seen some like conspiracy theorist stuff. Nobody wants like hundreds of people dead, except for terrorists. Some of it is just bizarre. A lot of people have been using this thing, this tweet of Netanyahu's, where he congratulated Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That, you know, realize that every leader, no matter who is the president, they will congratulate, just like they did with Trump, just like they did with Obama, just like they did with Bush, just like they did with Clinton, just like they did with Reagan, all of this stuff. The other Bush and then Reagan. Too many Bushes. They world leaders will congratulate. Doesn't matter, that's just the courtesy. It's part of the diplomacy of it. And I've seen some people saying that it somehow is related to the fact that, oh, well, that's probably why Netanyahu wasn't prepared. Oh, my gosh, stop. We got enough crazy in the world. I would suggest you not even be online right now. I have to because it's my job. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. I think it's completely fine, though, to question and say what, and I think you should. I think everyone should be like, okay, what were there any signs? What could we have done? Because you want to make sure that if there is any kind of soft spot in your nation's security, that it is fortified. That's just commonplace. That's smart. That's what anybody would do. Some of the other stuff to get into here. I'm only going to keep you apprised of what's going on with the House stuff because I know we're all so frustrated with it. We just can't. The death toll went from 25 to 27 now, American fatalities. There are two carrier strike groups that are nearby as a show of deterrence. That is a serious amount of deterrence. That's a lot of firepower, probably more firepower than any of the countries in that area have total as a nation. But that is to say nobody else needs to get froggy with this. We are also going to talk about the Iran aspect.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, well, here we go. Killer Clowns again. You know, by the way, that's a great movie, by the way. If you've never seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Dickies did the song. It's so good. So there's seems like we have this like every other year. A killer clown is stalking a village weeks before Halloween, leaving residents terrified. It's a sleepy little village in Scotland, North Ayrshire. It's a killer clown. He's wearing a Pennywise-style outfit, and he's wearing white gloves, a lace collar. Sounds more like Elizabethan. And he's got a big fluffy buttons, and he's left the town of 2000 in fear. Apparently, a Facebook account set up by the clown who calls himself Cole Demos posted images of himself in the darkened streets of the village. And people are like, I'm not letting my kids outside at night. Well, then beat his ass then. Come on, if he's scaring your kids. Otherwise, if he's not doing anything wrong and he's just like in the spirit of Halloween, then let it go. It's fun. Unless he's like killing people, in which case I revert to the first thing I said. See, it's very easy. It's like a flow chart of easiness. So CBS and Paramount Global have been hit with a discrimination and retaliation suit by former 60 Minutes producer alleging a toxic environment against women at the network. Oh, yawn. It's a vast raging complaint. Blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I really don't care. So they have problems. I mean, is anybody surprised? CBS? Paramount? Anybody surprised? In 1981, DeLorean was found with only 977 miles on it. I don't know whether I should be shocked or disappointed. Someone didn't drive this. They did not drive it. It was found in Wisconsin in good condition. A 1981 DeLorean with literally 977 miles on it. It's 42 years old. It has all of its original parts. 977 miles.
Is there a flux capacitor on that
thing?
Dude,
right? It has a new owner. It's been sitting in a barn, untouched and undriven. And the owner said that he would go out and look at it just because he thought he was cool and then go back inside, I guess. I don't know. That's so weird. So the guy who owns it now, Michael McElhattan, he got it. He lives in Crystal Lake, Illinois, and he has a restoration company. He got wind of it, and apparently it was in New Mexico. The original car's, the car's original owner was going to sell it, and he was just shocked when he goes, we opened it up, and the first thing I saw was a mouse go running across the center console. He said the car's withstood the test of time, the condition of the leather, the instruments, and the cluster of the dash, all the stuff. He goes, where you see sun damage, he goes, which is a big killer with this, with these cars. He said the car's virtually no sun damage. So he's going to do some restoration, but it's not gonna, looks like it's not going to be a lot that he's got to do. That's actually really cool. That's actually really cool. All right. Also, apparently, 1,000 birds hit one Chicago building in one day, killing all of them. 1,000 birds hit McCormick Place, the largest convention center in North America. It's mostly covered with glass, and it's like 1,000 birds in one day hit it. They were migrating south to wintering grounds. That is, volunteers are still picking up their little birdie carcasses. That's so, that's actually really sad. How sad is that? We have a lot more on the way. I feel like I need to lighten it up after that story. It's so depressing. Stick with us.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The other thing I'll say is Palestine is our generation, South Africa. And if we don't step up boldly and courageously to end the imperialist project that's called Israel, we're doomed. And I think that I had learned about Palestine for a long time. I had known about it, been wanting to travel, and I was really, really grateful when the Dream Defenders asked me to come on the delegation. But nothing would have prepared me for the level of militarization and the level of violence that we would witness from those 10 days inside of Palestine. Nothing would have prepared me for the ways in which we witness people's terror.
I'm almost people can't live even in hear terror the rest the of this. This is a flashback audio of Patrice Cullors, who is the grifter and co-founder of Black Lives Matter. She's the one who bought like three mansions with everybody's donations. Remember? I mean, we told you all that this group was commie and anti-Semitic and bigoted. We said it from the inception. It's all over their website. They also advocated for the destruction of the family unit, which always amazed me when I saw families like would support something like this. Like, really? What do you think you're supporting? Do people even bother reading the mission statements before they slap a virtue signal sticker on their like computer or their car or whatever? So asinine. It's just cringe. But this I say flashback, but it's not really flashback because they still believe this. This is why it wasn't. This is why they put out that that graphic where they had the paraglider. They used that as their graphic for calling for support for Hamas. You know what they do is they say the word Palestine, which again, and I'm going to hit this all the time, so bear with me, because we get drive-bys that don't hear it. It's a fictional country. It's never been a real country. It's not supported by 2,000 years of antiquity. It's never mentioned in the Quran. It's not mentioned in the Bible. And it's literally a spiteful name that was given to that land by Hadrian after he quelled the Second Judean Uprising. And he named it after the Jewish people's enemies as a way to further disassociate them from the land that was Judea. So that's where that name came from, Syria, Palestina. And it was named after the Philistines, who weren't even Arab. They were Greek. And they were gone like a century before anybody Arabic even showed up in that part of the world. So by saying that fictional made up name of a fictional made up country, And saying that as though it's synonymous with Hamas, what they're trying to do is whitewash Hamas and terrorism. And they act like it's somehow justified. And they by using that interchangeably with just Hamas, what they do is they advanced a couple of different narratives simultaneously. The first that, oh, this isn't terrorism. This is just they're standing up for themselves. And then it advances the whole occupation narrative. I don't believe in the theory of occupation as is applied to this area. The occupation are the terrorists who came in from paragliders and decided to kill entire communities. So Patrice Cullors, I don't think she understands history. I don't even think she understands what happened in South Africa, if this is what she's comparing it to, clearly. And it's not imperialistic. Hamas's charter, which is word for word what the Nazis also stated, literally does not believe, they espouse disbelief in Israel's right to exist as a sovereign entity. And where do some people get off who are aligned with BLM? Because I think all of this racial stuff is identity politics. I think that racial politics is the weakest, most anti-intellectual, unacademic, and illiberal thought, ideology, advocacy that one could possibly engage in. It is lowbrow and it is embarrassing. It doesn't make one look smart. I see people say, I've had a couple of people like comment, oh, well, I guess you're just, you know, you're a Zionist bootlicker and all this stuff. I don't even know. I don't even think they know what those words mean. And it's always someone who's so brave they can't use their real name. It's okay. I mean, you know, they probably need to go get up their dosage for their testosterone shot. It's okay. But what amazes me is that simply acknowledging history is somehow bad. That's just the history of it. That's the history of the area. I mean, even goodness, I mean, we could go back through to the entire, you know, history if you'd like to. I mean, before all of this, and I know there's some, I mean, we have the internet, you know, there are things that people can go read. I mean, if we wanted to go back in time, if we wanted to go back even before the Canaanites, I mean, how far do people want to go back? There's never been a Palestine. There's never been a Palestinian state. There's never been a Palestinian people. There was never a Palestinian state ever. There's been kingdoms of Israel and Judea. There's been Persian empires. There's been Babylonian, Byzantine. There's, you know, Frankish and all kinds of other stuff, but there's never been a Palestinian state. Ever. Never in the history of the world. But by using that word, as she did, Patrice Cullors, in that soundbite, they're trying to advocate for that. They're trying to rewrite history. And they're also trying to obscure the terror that Hamas has perpetuated in that area, even against its own people. Out of Hamas and Israel, Hamas has killed more people who live in Gaza. Hamas has killed more people, period. Their headquarters is in a hospital. They have their armory in schools. I'm not even joking. They put and store munitions under the floorboards of their mosques. And then when they're told, when people are warned by the IDF way ahead of time, please leave the area, because after the last rocket attack, we have to destroy this area where they took the materials to send the rockets from. Then Hamas tells people, no, 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 stay here. That's just the IDF trying to scare you. So people, well, they believe they're elected officials and they stay there, and then they end up getting killed. And then Hamas says, Israel, how dare you do that? That's what's happening. If you are believing that there's both sides to this, the propaganda is working on you. I'm fine with drawing a line in that sand on this. I'm fine with it. But this, it's a false history. An entirely false history. And BLM, I was reading a piece about how you probably donated to Hamas, if you ever donated anything to BLM. There's an interesting rundown, a couple of different places. I think Daily Caller's written about this before. The Federalist has written about this. They look at the corporations. You know, there were like, what, $99 billion given to BLM and related causes after the death of George Floyd. There's a BLM funding database that the Claremont Institute runs. And you can see literally where, who gave what and when and where and to what group. Like, there's some people say that the number is a lot higher than 99 billion. Some say that it is at least 340 billion and that there was a wealth transfer of a minimum that included a minimum of 122 million in funding just for BLM itself. So there's a really good chance that a good portion of that money also went to Hamas, because a lot of the BLM representatives very radically and vocally support Hamas, and they've talked about supporting Hamas, and they've supported Hamas and Gazan organizations that advocate for militancy. Delegations of BLM activists have visited Gazan territory, Gaza and West Bank. I'm not going to say the Palestinian territories because I don't believe that that's an actual country. But they visited Gaza and West Bank, which are two of the territories that are not Israeli. And they also work with a lot of very leftist, pro Gazan and West Bank militancy organizations. And a lot of them were the ones that you saw out in the street celebrating these atrocities. So there's a really good chance that a lot of the money given went to that. It's shocking and sad, but not entirely surprising that it went to that. Now, a couple of other things to touch on as well with this. There is the White House is looking to try to package, and you knew this was going to happen, any kind of funding for munitions or anything for Israel with Ukraine funding. Ukraine and Israel are two entirely different things. They're very different things. In that there's a lot of history for people who say that they are the same thing. Anyone who says this is someone who is freely admitting ignorance on the history of the Crimean area, the Crimean Peninsula, as well as the history of the Levant. They're entirely separate issues, things, origins, players, causes, consequences, etc. And you had to know that the White House was going to put, I think it's a money laundering thing with Ukraine. I still think this. But they've decided, this is the Washington Post, that the administration wants to combine its request for more spending on Ukraine with new aid for Israel. Now, there's an auto-renew. It's like $3.4 million, I think, aid that kind of auto-renews without the House having to do anything because they had approved it prior in legislation that is marked as aid for Israel. But there's nothing like that for Ukraine. And if they want to spend more for Israel, then they're going to obviously have to go through those steps again, and they're going to have to increase that legislatively. But they're already, that's what they're pushing. So they want to wrap up. They want to predicate any kind of anything with Israel. They want to predicate that on more money for Ukraine. What did I say it was? Like, I can't even remember how many billions I said that they had sent at that point already. I had a number that we talked about in the first hour. Sorry, it's 3.8 that they get aid. They get military aid from, and I meant billion, not million. They get military aid each year from the U.S., a lot of that includes air defense development and then foreign military financing. And then the agreement is they buy U.S. made stuff. So it's essentially we basically give money to our weapons manufacturers, and then that stuff goes to Israel, which this is what Stephen Yates has already brought up. Why don't we just allow Taiwan to have arms? Because Taiwan has offered to buy them outright, not even do any kind of a deal. They just literally want to give us money and purchase arms. And for some reason, this administration drags its feet. But to the point with this, so right now they're focusing on Gaza, and it's using things that Ukraine doesn't use. But if they do a ground assault, then that would put Israel and Ukraine in competition for the same types of ammunition, which is in short supply. So that's going to be very interesting to see. I do think that the issue with Ukraine would have been solved already if the West had not, and by the West, I mean this administration and progressives, hadn't inflamed it, because it and they would have had a discussion about it. There's a lot of, I'm not going to get into it now, there's a lot of history in that particular area about who had what and when, and a lot of it stems from what happened after the Soviet Union broke and fell apart and who had what nukes. But it's not as easy as just saying, well, you keep this and you keep that and everyone go their separate ways. And by the way, acknowledging the real geopolitical issue of this area is not Putin apologizing or anything else like that. I'm so tired of the illiberal, stupid, shallow discussions that the left drags everybody into. So Congress is not, they can't authorize any new spending until there's a House Speaker. It looks like we're not going to have a House Speaker. Scalise started losing votes yesterday. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? Michael McCaul, who's the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, was discussing a military aid package. And he was saying that they also were, if Taiwan doesn't need funds, but he apparently also brought up the idea of potentially funds for Taiwan. But he said that, yes, Democrats have been trying to tie Ukraine funding in with any aid to Israel. So we're going to see how this goes. But nothing's going to happen on it until they get a new speaker. We got Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So elementary school students that attended Miami Springs, Florida, a charter school in Miami Springs, Florida, saw a portion of the horror film. What is it? What is that Winnie the Pooh horror film called? The, I remember it's, Blood and Honey. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey is what it's called. Because Winnie the Pooh, remember, he fell into copyright free-for-all. Not with the red shirt, though. With the red shirt, still copywritten. But anyway, so they were shown... I know, it's very, you know. They were shown a portion of this horror film, like 20 to 30 minutes, and apparently it, like, terrorized them because there were, like, there was stabbing and slashing. I mean, it's literally called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I mean, it's very obviously a campy horror film. And apparently students picked the movie and the teacher allowed them to watch it. And then the students immediately regretted their decision because Winnie the Pooh was a homicidal maniac in the story. And he and Piglet go on a killing spree. No one believes that a Piglet, though. But anyway, he and Piglet went on a killing spree. There was neck slicing, arm snapping, eyeballs popping out, all kinds of stuff. Apparently a woman's boob flops out after she's attacked. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff happening. Yeah, you shouldn't show this in an elementary school. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, that's not appropriate for elementary school students. Good grief. Like, why does this have to be explained? Who let this happen? What teacher is like, oh, yeah, the kids picked it. It says Winnie the Pooh. I mean, you can clearly see it's like a slasher film. That's so dumb. Oh, my gosh. All right. So couple of things. I could get into the guy who stabbed somebody else, but let's talk about the bear. A Florida bear. Broken. What is up with this? Like, this is like the fifth story that we've had in, what, 2 months of bears breaking into people's houses and eating their food. Somebody drank somebody else's beers. Somebody drank somebody else's beers. A bear broke into a Florida man's garage and then started eating all of his fish sticks and strawberry syrup. Was the bear named Kanye? It's an old South Park joke. The incident follows several others where hungry bears have invaded homes. So this bear, it is a giant bear, by the way, broke into this in Sanford, Florida, broke into this house. It's on camera, unfazed, going to town with strawberry syrup and fish sticks. That is a very odd combination. But, you know, I'm not one to judge a bear's taste. I'm not going to do that. Stick with us. We got a third hour on the way after this.
With regard to the $6 billion, first... Again, it's always worth repeating the facts because, unfortunately, the facts get lost along the way. The money that Iran accrued in bank accounts, in this case in South Korea, for the sale of its oil, was done pursuant to an arrangement established by the previous administration, the Trump administration. None of the funds that have now gone to Qatar have actually been spent or accessed in any way by Iran. Indeed, funds from that account are overseen by the Treasury Department, can only be dispensed for humanitarian goods, food, medicine, medical equipment, and never touch Iranian hands. We have strict oversight of the funds, and we retain the right to freeze them.
Well, then why aren't you, like, freezing them again? Out of curiosity. I'm asking for a lot of people. Why not just refreeze them again? Do we know why there's any reason they haven't? Anybody? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That's Antony Blinken just now. Just a little bit ago, Karine Jean-Pierre is also having just wrapped up. She's having a White House press conference now talking about safeguarding the homeland, et cetera, et cetera. She says that that's what the president and vice president are doing following the attacks by Hamas. And I'm wondering if they're going to say anything about how Hamas called for a day of jihad tomorrow on all the things. I'm going to put a jihad on you. Gosh, we need Team America again. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. That's what they did, though. Jihad on you then. How about that? Remember that movie? That movie really made me appreciate my own hatred for Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
That's such a great movie. So I don't know if she said anything about that, but I'm curious as to whether, I don't think anybody has asked her quite yet if they're going to tell the FBI and DHS to stop looking at the parents upset over school board stuff and maybe kind of take a look-see at some of the pro-terrorist, the groups that are, I mean, if you're going to watch somebody, watch those people. I support free speech. I support this speech of people who want to say that they like terrorists. But of course, that means we get to call you terrorists, terrorist apologists, because that's what that is. But aren't they too busy watching parents who are going to school board meetings and Catholics? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought anyway. I mean, who knows? Why hasn't no one actually, that's not really widely reported or condemned by anybody in the government. Didn't he make a video of himself from his little cushy place in Qatar? And he said that he was going to put a jihad on all you people. Like, where's the condemnation for that? Where's that? All I know, look, for Hamas or any other terrorist that would like to put a jihad out on anybody who would like to get froggy, so to speak, in the United States, please know that there are people in the United States that are so damn giddy at the idea of a dumbass terrorist paragliding himself and trying to shoot his stupid rifle and kill innocent people. They will duck hunt your A double snakes right out of the sky. Just know that. Just know. I mean, there's a meme that, I saved it. It's a meme. And you know that from Parks and Rec, there's this photo of Chris Pratt before he lost all his weight. And he's making this face. Yeah. And the meme is that the face that every gun owner makes when they hear from behind them, "All right, everybody, hands up. This is a stick up." I'm just saying that that's like the same feels. It's the same vibe, the same energy. I mean, don't sit here and think that's not going to, because people are telling, they're warning people, be careful about big cities and all this stuff. In Britain, they had I'm going to pull this up. Is because this is just so weird to me. They're literally, they were telling people, apparently, British Jewish school children to hide their identities as they walk to school for their own safety. They said that one family said their teenage daughter was told to not wear her blazer, and that her male classmates were told to cover their skull caps with baseball caps, and that they've been seeing broken glass of, because somebody attacked what they thought was a Jewish bakery in California apparently yesterday, and it was owned by Armenian Christians. Golly, the terrorists aren't the brightest bunch. And they said that they are that because that's what the people at their school and then their community were telling them, just to be careful when your kids are like walking to school, Jewish school kids to walk to school. We fought a war. I had grandpas on both sides of the flipping globe. We fought a war to not have this happen again. I think that some people are going to find that the generation of the greatest, the grandkids of the greatest generation, we are even less inclined to put up with your BS, terrorists. This is 2023 and this is happening. They're telling kids in Britain and London that they got to be careful walking to school. They're telling the boys to hide their skull caps because some terrorist might get his feels hurt over somebody else's skull cap. I didn't realize that your deity was so weak that they would be offended by the existence of someone else. So, I don't know. I mean, are you going to change your pattern tomorrow, Kane? It's the day of jihad, you know.
I might carry an extra mag or two with me.
What would you do if you saw a paraglider in the air? A terrorist, a Hamas terrorist in the air with a rifle?
Break out my old duck hunt skills.
Kane's going to put his SCOBY down or his bacteria tea, and he's going to break out his duck hunt skills.
I may not have to even put that down, honestly.
Oh, my gosh. You have to find some sort of light point in this, all of the horror that we've seen over this past week, because it's been awful. I have been desperately searching for kooky stories to break it up. And I mean, I think even all the fun, freaky people hid. I don't even know. I mean, golly, Florida Man and Florida Bear were all we had today. God love them. Thank you, Florida, for making all that stuff public, because I don't know what we'd be doing without you today. It's just, man, it's heavy. It's heavy stuff. I get it. And who knows what, I mean, you have, what, $6 billion in Iranian funds. They say that it's that Iran can't get it, but yet they're not going to refreeze it. So I don't know. We have the buildup there at the border with Gaza. You have Hezbollah up north. And here in the United States, you have people being stupid. And I told you about the bakery. Let me pull this up. This was in Northern California, I believe. Oh, yeah, in Fresno. The Noah's Ark restaurant and bakery. They were the guy who that they believe behind it. was arrested for a hate crime. I don't believe in hate crimes. I think all crimes are hateful. I don't think that some should be elevated or get a special status because of the people involved. I think everybody's just, it's all hateful. But they targeted the guy. Apparently this bakery was targeted because the belief was that it was Jewish. And it was a bakery that's owned by Armenian Christians, apparently. And then there was another place. There was a Jewish temple in the Noah's Ark restaurant and bakery in Fresno. Oh, Temple Beth Israel, and this was in Northern California. The front door was broken by a rock. And then the bakery, they had windows broken. And and by the way, they know that it was targeted because the person thought they were Jewish, because the dumb person who targeted them literally left behind a threatening message targeting them as a Jewish-owned business, even though the family are literally Armenian Christians. The people who went through another genocide. Oh my gosh. This is so insane. Like, again, the terrorists aren't the smartest ones. I had another thought on that, Kane, but I'm trying to be well behaved today.
Thank you.
I was going to say, you know, maybe that's why some of them mistake, but I didn't go all the way through it.
Thank goodness.
And then at Yale, because I told you about the Harvard students, you have Yale. Columbia. Yale had an American studies professor justifying the attacks. What in the world? Why are all these people coming out of the woodwork? Or if they've just been there all along, and now that this is, again, clarifying times, now this is just showcasing all of the bigotry for the world to see. This American history professor, believe it or not, they described, wow. They use the word, you have to decolonize the area. And they were saying that Israel, you know, basically the same old, Israel deserved it, blah, 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 blah. I think why so many people, and she made all of her social media accounts private. I mean, you have a right to your opinion, but the problem is that apparently she also goes on a lot of news channels. as like some sort of self-styled expert. She had said, quote, settlers are not civilians. This isn't hard. That's one of the things she tweeted. And she tweeted her support for Hamas, cheered on the atrocities. Like, there's no, like, actually cheered it on. Wow. An American studies professor, Zareen Grewal. And she was hired. She's incredibly, really radical. She was hired and she, I mean, now she's privatized everything. Oh, and if you disagree with her that settlers aren't civilians and apparently you're a white supremacist, which is so ironic, like you're literally parroting Hitler and then also calling everyone else around you. I don't know. I'm just, this is just amazing to me. I was thinking, how in the world do you go on air and be like, well, there are a lot more dumb people in the world than I thought previously and talk about that without a tinge of sadness and shock? I always say that I'm a cynic and I have no faith in man, and I don't. But that's separate from the expectation that there should be better, right? And I'm finding out I shouldn't have that expectation either, apparently.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this just now coming in, literally right after we were talking about Antony Blinken's remarks as to whether or not the U.S. is going to refreeze the $6 billion. Well, apparently, according to the New York Times just now, they are. The United States and Qatar have agreed to block Iran's access to $6 billion in funds that were recently transferred to the nation as a part of a deal that was the hostage deal between Tehran and Washington. The Deputy Treasury Secretary told House Democrats today that Iran is not going to have access to the funds any longer, according to someone familiar with the matter to the New York Times. The money was reportedly under close supervision and BS strict conditions that it be used for humanitarian purposes. So it looks like they started getting a lot of heat from, I know, from Joe Manchin and some other Democrats. And it got a lot of push in the Senate, led by Manchin and some others that he got along with him. And then apparently they got pushed back on the administration, but then the administration couldn't push back. I think too many Democrats got on board with it. And now the White House had to find some way to save face. And we're going to talk about this more, but they were trying to find some kind of some other justification to refreeze the funds. So it didn't look like they had made a huge mistake in unfreezing them and therefore maybe had given Hamas some money. So anyway, that's the news. We're going to talk more about that here coming up, but that's just the latest that just broke. LAPD released some video of officers ignoring robbery calls to play Pokemon Go. This is from 2017. The videos all this happened in 2017, but apparently videos were just now released. In the video captured two officers trying to discuss how to capture a Snorlax and ignoring people who were in the process of robbing a Macy's at Crenshaw Mall, according to AP. You remember that Pokemon Go when it came out and there were pictures of two boats in a pond? And they were both trying to get the same gym. Oh my gosh. So they were fired, apparently. But this is actually hysterical. I guess there's a lawsuit because that's why it came out, because court filings. But they literally were ignoring calls that were coming in on the radio. And they were trying to get a Snorlax. And they were talking about trying to capture the Snorlax on the, oh my gosh. Anyway, in the city of St. Louis, our hometown, they're trying to push a guaranteed basic income pilot program where they give people free $500 for 18 months.
Every month?
Up to 18 months. Every month for up to 18 months. And you can be chosen. You can apply. They ask all eligible residents. So if you pay the taxes, that means you're not going to be eligible. If you don't pay the taxes, it means you're going to be eligible. That's unbelievable. We have a lot more on the way. I'm going to walk you through the latest on this breaking story. Apparently, they did refreeze this money. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Has there been any discussion amongst President Biden and his aides about how to avoid the fate of Jimmy Carter in this situation, where we actually saw the President of the United States and his administration become, in effect, hostages themselves to a foreign terrorist organization?
With all the respect that President Biden has for President Carter, I can assure you that he is not focusing on history here, even what? Domestic history. He's focusing on what's going on now and making sure that we are doing everything we can to support Israel and look after our national security interests in this moment, because this is not 1979. It's 2023, and Hamas is an organization that has existed for many years with the support of Iran. We've got enough challenges just dealing with this that we're focused on that and that alone.
How in the world is that an answer to that question? That was a legitimate question, I thought, that James Rosen asked and just now. And John Kirby's like, well, it's not. We're not looking at history. We're got to say some words here to answer your questions. That was a horrible answer. I mean, because that's Carter did get himself into a mess. Carter created the mess that we're seeing over here. This is all Jimmy Carter. This is his legacy. This is his legacy. This is all Jimmy Carter stuff. I saw a piece the other day that said, oh, this is like leftover Barack Obama. No. Barack Obama was just more accelerant on it. This is Jimmy Carter. This is all his legacy. Biggest failure of a president ever. Well, almost ever. There's several. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Now, I thought that was a very legitimate question. And I just don't know why that was so difficult for him to answer. Because, you know, with Carter, we ended up, like I said, we're still dealing with this now. Maybe Biden's just busy focused. He's looking at junk fees. Wasn't that the thing that they came out with? Best we can do are these junk fees. It's like watching Pawn Stars. I mean, I know you're asking about this. Best I can do is, it was a legitimate question. But Biden's not focusing on history. What? That doesn't even make any sense. Kirby had a look on his face of what it looks like when you're torpedoed by a question. I mean, so it sounds like Biden's going to make the same mistakes Carter did. That's what it sounds like. That's what I'm hearing. I mean, you know, that's what it sounds like. Welcome back again to the program. Before we went to break, I shared with you the story about how the United States and Qatar have reached apparently some kind of agreement to prohibit Iran from accessing any of the $6 billion in Iranian funds that were transferred to Qatari accounts. Wasn't it? They were held in a South Korean bank, as I understand, and then transferred to Qatari, transferred to a Qatari bank. And this is money from the Iranian oil that is sanctioned. They shouldn't be. And so far I have a headline here. Let me pull this up. About all the billions, $80 billion that Iran has made in illicit oil sales since Biden took office. So the story is that they've reached this quiet understanding to not release $6 billion sent to Iran for now. And the Deputy Treasury Secretary told House Democrats today that those funds are not going to be touched anytime soon. They were moved as a part of a deal to secure those five Americans, the hostage thing, because Iran learned that you could take hostages and then the U.S. would pay you for them. Maybe that's what they think that they're doing here through Hamas. They just took a bunch of more of Americans hostage because, you know, look, you get $6 billion for five hostages. That's over $1 billion per hostage. Just think I wonder if Iran is thinking how much more could they get through Hamas with these other hostages. And so administration officials, what's so stupid is the debate about, direct evidence of Iran having a direct link, et cetera, et cetera. And they keep going back and forth about, well, we don't know if they've had a direct link. We don't know. We know that they fund them. We know that. That's something that's not in dispute. They didn't just stop funding them right before this. And I do think that it's completely reasonable to question whether or not the transference of money to Qatari accounts, $6 billion, and all of a sudden it show you have all of these abilities and resources and munitions that Hamas has. I mean, it is a little bit more than coincidental. And do you honestly believe them when they say, well, you know, Qatar, we transfer them to Qatar, and Qatar's watching it very closely, and they're making sure that none of this money, that Iran touched any of this money. Do you honestly believe that? Because Qatar is where Hamas, the head of Hamas, lives. None of them live in Gaza. That's a hellhole that they reserve for the people whose lives they put in danger, not themselves. Good grief. No one believes that Qatar is an unbiased observer in any of this. What did John Kirby today, just a little while ago, he literally was saying, he said this direct quote of the cash, quote, it's still sitting in the Qatari bank, all of it, every dime of it. We played it for you. That's what he said. He goes, none of that money has been spent. Oh, you can guarantee it then, huh? They're asking us, trust Qatar. Hey, Kane, again, where does the head of Hamas live?
Yeah, in Gaza, you mean?
No. Yeah, the head of Hamas lives in, not Gaza, but...
Oh, I don't know.
Qatar.
But... Oh, is that where? I had no idea.
Where
I honestly
are you?
Didn't know.
Kane's not even listening
to this. I honestly didn't know.
We just talked about it. He lives in Qatar. That's where they had their meetings in Qatar. That's why they were all on video in Qatar having their meetings in that boardroom. That's where he lives. He lives a life of leisure in a cushy little palace. But you believe them, right? I feel like that meme with Natalie Portman and the dude who plays Anakin Skywalker in the prequels. But you believe Qatar, right? They're not going to touch the money, right? Sure. So we'll see. They're going to Why did it take them so long? Why did it take them so long to make that call? I'm floored. I mean, they could have done this a lot earlier. They could have done this a lot earlier. I guess on our side, they had to wait for enough Democrats in the Senate to get mad, because apparently it was like Joe Manchin, apparently even Chuck Schumer and John Tester and others. They were getting a little upset over all this.
I think it was the citizenry and the media that was pushing back on the whole idea of why.
I don't think the media was pushing back at all. I think the media has been running defense, but I'm just like, what, why did it take them this long to say, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to refreeze these funds now? They keep trying to find some sort of pretext to justify why they want to refreeze the funds so as to not implicate themselves in funding $6 billion Hamas and financing what they just did. But I mean, I'm having a hard time thinking that this goes any other way. Yeah. Now, as to our own border, ICE has admitted a record 5.7 million illegal immigrants in the United States. And Biden wants to provide medical services and housing to all. That is buried in the paperwork of the Release and Reporting Management Program. New York Post has an exclusive where they read through all of this government paperwork, and the plan is for private companies to join ICE's monitoring of illegal immigrants through ankle monitors, phone apps, and in-person check-ins. But the initiative also provides at the expense of the taxpayer welfare. That's not an exaggeration. That is in the Release and Reporting Management Program from the administration. And it looks at housing, medical care. The program is anticipated to replace all of ICE's non-detained programs and, quote, apply to the entire non-detained docket. And the Q&A form from ICE that was published last month clarifies that the current non-detained docket, meaning people in the country illegally who are not in detainment, is 5.7 million. Those held in ICE detention for processing at the border or in facilities awaiting deportation are not included in the 5.7 number. The services for all of the program's participants, now get this, include, quote, here we go. It's a list. Legal assistance, psychosocial services, therapeutic services, social services, medical services, food services, clothing, banking, housing, public transportation, clothing banks, information, food banks, parental information, education information, repatriation, reintegration. The form is publicly available at sam.gov. And it, wow, there's, it gets into a lot of it. So these are a lot of services that it provides at taxpayer funding, all taxpayer funding. And yes, legal assistance at the taxpayer expense. That was the first thing. The form reads, quote, these services are designed to increase participant compliance with immigration obligations through information stabilization and support. So they think that by covering everybody's food, clothing, housing, medical services, therapy. We have veterans that can't get therapy and medical services, but they're giving them away. Maybe veterans who need those services should just go to Mexico and then illegally cross. All of that, and it's all taxpayer funded. They're saying that the form is arguing that they believe that these services will increase the participant of illegal immigrant compliance. What? Billions of dollars. Have you seen this, Kane? Billions of dollars. So they're giving legal assistance to people who cross illegally at the taxpayer's expense. But this is, I mean, I don't even know what this is going to run to. And that's going to replace all of, again, ICE's non-detainment programs. Now, they're in the planning purposes phase. They have not yet rolled out the program yet. But they're already talking to vendors for fiscal year 2024, according to the form. And this is going to replace the precursor, which is, in effect, Alternatives to Detention. That was released in 2004. This new initiative from this administration would require additional funding beyond what is allocated for the current Alternatives to Detention program. Oh my gosh. Or, you know what? You could just not allow people to cross illegally into the country. Yeah. I mean, that seems like that would be the, that seems like that would be the most obvious thing. But, you know, who knows? Now, in the meantime, you saw this with PrEP. I sent this out in PrEP, how apparently Border Patrol agents and their families, some of the cartels are putting bounties on them. That was reported by one local media entity. They sent out an internal alert to agents after they intercepted messages looking for the home addresses of agents and their families with the intent to do harm. Like, apply, like they're apparently they're offering $200 if you get me an agent's address, $1,000 if you get me their family's address, et cetera, et cetera. They are paying for addresses of Border Patrol agents. They're putting bounties on them. Biden's border.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You know, I'm sure you want them to be with people they know so that they're not alone there. But what are your feelings about the attacks against Gaza right now? How can the government...
I must say that, look, you're looking for a symmetrical situation, and I must say it isn't. If you were dealing with a war who is between two countries, countries don't take children hostages. I'm sorry. It's against the laws of war. It's against humanity. It's against anything that we all believe in. Every time we had missiles shot at us, I used to say to my children that they should be sympathetic towards the children of Gaza because they suffer a lot more than they do. I'm not sure I still believe in it now. And I must say, the only worry I have now from the bombings in Gaza is the fact that my children are there.
Understandably.
I can't be sympathetic anymore. I can't be sympathetic to animal human beings, well, they're not really human beings, who came into my house, broke everything, stole everything, took my children from their bedrooms and took them to the Gaza Strip. Israel never done that and will never do.
That mother was not having it. An Israeli mother. Here you have Andrea Mitchell trying to elicit some sort of sympathy for Hamas from this mother, and this mother whose children were kidnapped by Hamas. And those are some of the people, those children are some of those that the IDF is now weighing on 300,000 they're building up, going in and getting. She's not having it. Welcome back to the program. That wasn't the only family. This audio was amazing. Retired Major General Noam Tibben talks about fighting terrorists on their way in to save his family. His son and kid and grandkids were being kidnapped by Hamas, and he went and fought them off. Listen to this.
Amir told me, because I told him, you have to be quiet. You have to be locked. Trust me, I will come. And he knew that I will come. This is my profession. Nobody, nobody, nobody can stop me. And
he went in and did it and helped successfully fight off terrorists. I stole your time for today in stupidity. Can't apologize, but that's what it is, folks. This has been a rough week. It's been a horrible week. And we're praying for the innocent in Israel. We're praying for, we have friends there. And maybe Hamas will stop. Maybe they won't. But Israel can handle itself. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday. I have a family day tomorrow. God bless.